They lived in their houses, all snuggled with care. But something was missing. Something not there. They looked for it in stores, in boxes, in bags. They looked for it in stuff, but fought over rags. They fought over toys and things that went beep. They fought over clothes and even their sheep. But something was missing.
What's missing? What do you mean?
On another level, things might seem quite bright, but other times not. It looked more like night. Nation rose against nation. Man fought against man. Even in that chaos, God still had a plan. It didn't include armies, or thunder, or might, but came as a baby, one silent night. A radical love came to us that day. God had something to show us, something to say. That peace was more than a feeling or thought. A relationship with God, that's what Jesus taught. For God so loved the world that he gave us his Son. It's a great gift. It's for everyone. Through that little baby, he showed us our worth. It's a pretty good idea, this peace on earth.
Good morning. How are we doing? All right. So, I am sharing on peace this morning. If you've got a Bible, turn it on, switch it on, unlock it, or, dare I say, open it. Isaiah chapter 9. We're going Old Testament, and we're going to read a little bit of Isaiah from verse 1 this morning. And we're going to see what Isaiah prophesied about the future of the Messiah. So, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning and will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. So that's Isaiah's prophecy and a build-up to Christmas. We read these prophecies in the Old Testament with the anticipation of celebrating Christmas. So we're going to look at that name given to Jesus right back in Isaiah chapter 9, Prince of Peace. So it's Christmas time. It's Advent. Have you made a list? Have you written on it? Have you got your list in? Have you got all your shopping done? One of the things that would be on my list, or is on my list, is a new iPad. I'd quite like a new iPad because my one's getting a bit slow and old, a little bit like me. but it is, it's getting old. But and I love new technology. I love new things. I love it. And when I first got my iPhone with Siri on it, does anyone know Siri? Hands up if you've got an iDevice with Siri on it. Siri is so much fun. Can I just say, if you've got a three-year-old and you ask Siri to beatbox, endless fun. Thea will come up to me and go, "Can Siri beatbox?" And I'm like, no, not now, not now, because we'll be like in church or something like that. But he does it. He beatboxes. If you say, Siri, beatbox, he'll beatbox. Do you want to, let's not demonstrate it. Trust me, go home. Seriously, you're like, okay, here we go. Go on then, you've twisted my arm. Siri, beatbox.
Here's one I've been practicing. Boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots. I could do this all day. Cats and boots and 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 cats.
If you're new to HBC, good morning. My name's Ed and I tend to derail every service I'm involved in. Thanks, yeah. Pray for me. I asked Siri, can you tell me about peace on Earth? You can ask Siri anything. You can ask him about the weather, he'll tell you, or other voice assistants. Thanks, Tim. but you can ask him, I asked him about peace, and Siri didn't really have an answer. He just sent me to a Wikipedia page. Wikipedia is the fountain of all wisdom and knowledge in our day and age. Obviously, it's not. The Bible is, because we're in church. This is what Wikipedia says about peace. Peace is a certain quality of existence which has been sought after, yet seldom found, in a long, enduring form since time immemorial. In a behavioral sense, peace is generally understood to be a lack of conflict and freedom from fear of violence. And when it talks about personal peace, it talks about inner tranquility. Is that the peace that Jesus is? Is that what Jesus is? So I started thinking about this. To understand peace, we need to understand it where Isaiah writes about it. And loads of stuff in the Old Testament is written about peace. The word peace in the Old Testament. Does anyone know what the word peace is in the Old Testament? If you've been around church for a number of years, you've probably picked up on it. Shalom. That's right, Judith. Well done. You've been to Sunday school, I can tell. Shalom. Everyone say shalom. It's actually used as a Jewish greeting as well. Shalom, peace. It's more than just nice kind of feeling. It's more than just like saying, I hope you're doing all right. It's more than just being happy. Shalom, peace in the Old Testament is always intrinsically linked with justice and righteousness. The Old Testament prophets always talk about justice and righteousness. And then they also talk about shalom, peace within that context. Justice and righteousness being God's justice and righteousness being demonstrated in humanity. Quite often, the Israelite people in the Old Testament wandered away from God, drifted away from their faith, and got lost in the world around them, and they practiced other religions and did other things, and they weren't always the people that God wanted them to be. They did things that weren't right. And always the prophets say, you need to come back to God, you need justice and righteousness. And then they say, and if you have justice and righteousness, you will have peace. The peace that they're talking about is peace with God. You will have peace with God if you practice justice and righteousness. So there's an Old Testament theologian who's a hero of mine, and his name's Walter Brueggemann, and he says this: shalom is the substance of the biblical vision of one community, as in the entire world, embracing all creation. Basically, he's saying everything being right and with everything else, a global, societal, individual, economic peace expressed even in how creation relates to itself. We see an example of this in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6 to 9. If you want to read it, you can flick over to it. It says this, I'll read it out to you. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, the young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw with the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand into a viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So it's this beautiful picture of the whole of creation being at peace with itself. And that's really what God wanted right at the beginning. And before creation, there was chaos, and then he created. And he brought shalom in the chaos. He brought the Garden of Eden. He brought peace to the whole of his creation. His whole creation started off in peace. And obviously, we went away from God, Adam and Eve, and we sinned and drifted away, and we've continued in this kind of sinful way, going, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But the prophets, time and time again, I've mentioned, Isaiah 1 says, wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight and stop doing wrong. Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed. It's like a call for like a superhero, isn't it? Take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Psalm 34, verse 14 says, turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Go after peace. Isaiah again, he says in chapter 32, the Lord's justice will dwell in the desert. His righteousness live in the fertile field. The fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. Shalom, peace, is about everything being right with God. And it's expressed in how we treat people. It's expressed in how we treat the poor. It's expressed in how we treat the people who are the vulnerable, the ones who are marginalized and pushed to the side. That's how you know when peace is being achieved, when those guys are being looked after, when we as the people of God are looking after those people. That's the Old Testament. So that's the Old Testament concept. Look after the fatherless. Look after the widow. Look after the orphan. Feed the hungry. Those are things you see constantly, time and time again. Justice and righteousness, you will have peace. Pursue it. So then Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one, and everyone's ready for him. They're excited because they want, well, they're not excited, they're desperate because they want a savior. That's the context where Jesus is born. They want a savior, they want a Messiah, they want a hero because they're occupied by Rome. In the 2000 years ago, Rome was the occupying nation, ruling over Israel and pretty much most of the world at the time. They wanted someone to save them from these evil people. They were a holy nation, Israel, and they would have felt deeply spiritually violated by this foreign imposter ruling them with a puppet government and just basically doing whatever they wanted. They were desperate for someone to bring peace. However, their understanding of peace wasn't what I've just told you. The understanding of peace was that basically a warrior savior would rise up and smite the evil people and then there would be peace. Because that's what you see in the Old Testament. If you want peace, David goes to war and he kills everyone and he takes all their weapons and he burns them and everyone's dead. If you want peace, Saul, he goes and kills everyone and they destroy the army and then they've got peace. Solomon, he rules everyone really hard and he kills people and all the kings. They just, if you want peace, everyone basically who's opposing your peace has to die. That's the concept of peace. Which I'm not sure is what Jesus did. Because when Jesus came, he came with this title of Prince of Peace, which is a random title because when he was born in a stable and he was born to a carpenter from Nazareth. He wasn't a prince. He wasn't born of royalty. He was born to a building family in a place where no one really cared about. They said, what good can come from Nazareth? Nazareth was a place that was a bit of a backwater, a bit of a insignificant place. It'd be a bit like saying that the Messiah is coming from Blaken, where I live, or he's coming from, I'm not going to say anything else before I offend someone. I just, random thought went through my head. Let's stop there before I dig a hole. I was going to say Liverpool. thank you, G. I know there's some Scousers here. I'm sorry. But it's a funny joke. It's naughty. It's naughty. I'm so thankful we live in Chester. And I do love Liverpool when they lose to United. I'm kidding. We know loads of great stuff going on in Liverpool. We were there recently. Who was there recently for a Mitchell Community Weekend? There's some great stuff coming out of Liverpool. I'm just going to say that. It was a cheap joke. Blaken is amazing too. What good can come from Blaken? We're all here. Hello. Come on. There's so much good going on in Blaken, honestly. But it would be like that kind of understanding. People understand Blaken to be whatever, or Leitch, or any of these other estate places. Nazareth was a place that was forgotten. Nothing good can come from it. So Jesus is born, and he's got this title, Prince. So it's like, well, what kind of prince is he? What kind of prince is he? And what kind of peace is he bringing? Because he's not a warrior king bringing peace by smiting all the evil people. Jesus brought a peace that was exactly the same as what was talked about by the prophets in the Old Testament. His peace was to reestablish people's connection to God so that they would be their will and their soul would be in line with God's will, and therefore they would know a peace within inside of them because they would live peace. Everything Jesus did, he did from a place of peace. When he healed the woman who couldn't stop bleeding, he healed her, and she touched him and she got healed. He turns around and he says to her, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. That's what he says to her. When he forgives the woman caught in adultery, He says, who condemns you? No one condemns you. He says, go and sin no more. Go in peace. When he sends out his disciples to do mission, he sends them out to find people of peace. He says, go to a house and say, peace be to your house. And if peace is returned, stay there and invest there. And if it doesn't, if they don't return it, then move on. And we talk about finding people of peace in our mission field, finding the people of peace. Jesus's peace is about restoring a broken world to what it should be. So when he heals someone, he is bringing shalom to their body. When he forgives someone, he is bringing shalom to their soul. When he feeds people, he is bringing shalom. Shalom is about correcting society to be back to God itself. And you and I get offered this same peace, this peace. But I think in our Western society, in our Western culture, we've kind of misunderstood the concept of peace, certainly from a biblical perspective. We think that peace is about no war. And let me tell you, that would be great. Wouldn't it? Because if you look at the world today, there is so much wrong going on. There is so many bad things happening. And we could list a whole load of stuff. We don't have time to. But if you like modern technology like I do, I'm always checking the news and it's pretty much always bad news. There's crazy stuff going on there. And I don't think the North Korea situation is going to be solved in a healthy way by going to war with North Korea. I just don't think that's going to be. But what Jesus was do in his time was that he just went around living out peace to these Roman occupied people. And even in that situation, Jesus still upset the people in charge. They still got annoyed at him. They still got angry at him. And what did they do? They killed him. They killed the man of peace. And I think in that moment, that's where Jesus was. Obviously, his title, because he's a royalty, he's God. That's where he gets his title, Prince. But if you look at it from an earthly term, he doesn't. He doesn't have that title, but he does because he is God. So he is the Prince of Peace because he is God. But in human terms, they didn't understand that, and they killed him. They killed the man of peace. I don't know if you want more peace in your life. Who would just like peace? That, I don't know what that means to you. Just a show of hands, who would like some peace? Do you know, I was kind of thinking, we were, you know, getting ready for this morning. I got up early because I always do that when I'm preaching. I get up, I read over my sermon. And then once I finished reading over my sermon, the morning kind of took a nosedive. It just, off the deep end, the kids went mental at home. So if you don't know me, I've got 4 children. The eldest is 10 and the youngest is 3. And you probably saw 2 of them legging it out every time the lights got switched off. We're like, woohoo, the lights are off, let's go. But it just nosedived. And my goodness, there was a lack of peace in my house this morning. It was stressful as anything. My wife Lindsay heads up the kids team this morning. She's out this morning and it just was crazy. And then not only that, I get a phone call from Hazel saying, just so you know, there's been a mix up at the Catholic High and the buildings are all changed. And I wasn't here, but I walked in to pray with the team this morning, and I could tell that the peace, the shalom of HBC had been disturbed this morning by a hiccup in the booking system of the Catholic High School, who we love very much, and this is probably the first time we've had any major issue on a Sunday morning. But anyway, here we are. We're able to worship, we're focused on Jesus, and we can realign ourselves with him and who he is. I just thought it was really ironic this morning. It's just really like funny, isn't it? When stuff goes wrong, and that's exactly what I'm preaching on, it's like, I think God wants to do something in us this morning. I think God wants to do something in us as a people. And I know enough of you to know, actually, there's some situations you're facing in your lives and situations we're facing together as a church where actually we just want some peace. We just need peace. But as I said before, peace isn't that inner happiness. It's not just like, you know, when someone sits down and just go, I just need a bit of peace and quiet. Just need, that's my mum would always say that, just need some peace and quiet. And she'd say it in a really non-peaceful way. Leave me alone. I need some peace and quiet. We've all been there, I'm sure, with whatever. Just need some peace. Or we kind of think it's a bit of a hippie peace. We need some hippie peace. We need some peace. We need some peace, man. Which, let's be honest, involved herbal remedies. Let me just tell you, it's not lasting peace. I know. I wasn't a Christian a long time ago. That's not going to bring peace. We look for peace in other ways. We look for peace in all kinds of situations. We look for peace. It's Christmas time. If I could just get some more stuff, I might just feel a little bit better. And I've been there. I do it all the time. I remember when I was waiting to buy the car that I bought just recently. We bought a little cheap runaround off Paul Stevens' mate. And I remember walking up the hill to pick my kids up, and I was just thinking, oh, if only I had that car, life would just be so much better. And then as soon as you get the car, or whatever it might be, there's something else. I need a new iPad. That would just make life so much better. It's like we get this kind of, who's been there? You just, show of hands if you've ever kind of thought, if only I could have that. If only my extension would be finished on my house, then maybe life would be a bit better. Actually, that one worked. Having a new kitchen's amazing. The novelty hasn't worn off yet. But, but still there's something deeper in our lives that actually we need something that's so much deeper, a peace that surpasses understanding, a peace that is beyond our worldly understanding, a peace that realigns our will with God's will, and therefore our soul is made right. It's about coming into that right relationship with God, the everlasting Father, another name of Jesus, incidentally, in Isaiah. But it's picking up, coming into that right relationship and then joining in with his call on humanity to live out a life of righteousness and justice. That actually, when we do those things of caring for others, that brings peace. And let me tell you, my experience is when I bring peace in those moments, when we feed people, when we care for people, when we pray for people for healing, and when we see people set free, or whatever it might be, there is something in my soul that brings, that has peace as well. When I bring peace, peace is within me, and peace flows from me. Does that make sense? Do you understand? It's a spiritual kind of thing that goes on. It's not easy to quantify or even to give words to, but there is an exchange between heaven and earth. And ultimately, we talk about bringing God's kingdom to earth. It's about bringing God's kingdom, which is about bringing his shalom, making humanity, the whole of creation, restored into right relationship with God. But Jesus does also speak to us personally, and we'll finish here, we're going to worship in a second. He speaks to us personally as well. When he's about to leave, his disciples are getting really really worried. They're getting really worked up. And in, I think it's in John chapter 14, he says to them, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus gives his disciples his peace. He gives it to them. He says, I'm giving you my peace. Don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. I'm giving you my peace. Well, how do we know we've got Jesus' peace? How does that happen? How did he put peace inside of them? I honestly believe that when the Holy Spirit came in Acts, that was God literally moving into our very souls, his spirit within us. So where his spirit is within us, we can really know something of his peace. And we need to keep growing in it and pressing into it. It's not a one-minute thing, because life, as you know, is, it has its ups when your extension gets finished, and it has its downs when all kinds of craziness might kick off in your life. Who knows what's around the corner for some of us? Some of us are already facing that crazy situations. But even in those crazy situations, we need to be people who bring shalom to a broken world. Our vision statement is about bringing healing, wholeness, and freedom to broken lives and broken communities as we expect great things from God and attempt great things with God. It's over there every Sunday. It's not just nice words on a board that we thought we'd stick on it a few years ago. It's because we actually want to partner in the transformational work of the Holy Spirit here on earth, bringing God's kingdom to earth so that people, us, individuals, and collectively as a church, but also in our communities and our city, and let's just throw it out there because it's God's vision, the world would know something of his shalom. His shalom. And just to finish off, I just want to pray for us. I don't know what you're facing. Maybe worship team, if you guys come up and get ready. I don't know what you're facing in your lives. I don't know what's going on in you right now. I know some of your story. I know some of you where you're at, some of the things that are going on. And I know I've talked about these grand ideas of living out righteousness and justice and sharing in our lives. And I know many of us do that. And some of us maybe need to, it's a kind of a realign and just an adjustment. However that's expressed, whether that's joining a SOZO team and bringing healing and wholeness and shalom in that situation, or whether it's volunteering with a food bank or just caring for your neighbor next door or whatever it might look like. There's all kinds of things. But I also believe that for us as individuals, Jesus wants us to live from a place of peace, a place of our soul and our spirit being in line with his, so that we have something of an eternal peace, the salvation that comes through Jesus, made right with God. In Numbers chapter 6, it says this, the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. As the Lord turns his face to you and gives you peace. So this morning, whoever you are, whatever is going on, I believe that this morning God wants to realign you, realign us, so that we would know his peace deep within us, so that we can live it out as people of peace in a broken world that desperately, desperately needs something different than what's on offer at political level, business levels, economic levels, all the levels, whatever level it is. We need the people of God across the world to continue to live out shalom. Can we stand together? Let's stand. Let's just close our eyes. Maybe let's just put our hands out in front of us as we move into worship, and then we'll see what happens with the Holy Spirit as we do that. Let's close our eyes, hands out in front of us, and let's just be still. We thank you, Jesus, that in everything you do, in everything you are, you bring us peace. You bring peace to a broken world in everything you do. We thank you that your peace isn't the same peace as we understand in the Old Testament of war. It's not the peace we understand now of time without war. Peace is so much deeper than that. Your shalom is so much deeper. Thank you that Advent was a promise of a Prince of Peace was coming. Thank you that you came. Thank you that you are the peace bringer. You are the peace prince, the one who brings peace, the Prince of Peace. And whatever we're facing this morning, God, whatever's going on in our lives, whatever we are looking at right in the face in front of us, whether it's health, work, family, school, college, whatever it might be, as we approach Christmas, some of us might not even be feeling like we want to celebrate Christmas. This morning, Jesus, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would we know something of your peace, of our soul being in line with you, with your spirit? Thank you, Jesus.